Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
An 8-goal thriller at Edgeley Park and Dani Alves in flip-flops. Football always delivers, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 18th of November. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
On a morning as fresh as an Angel City kit drop, ladies and gentlemen. Have you seen it, Pete and Jim? Have you seen it? Have you seen Natalie?
The Angel City.
Have you seen Natalie Portman modelling the new NWSL Angel City kit?
Oh, no, we haven't seen that.
With specks of sort of pinkishness and and it's sort of channeling a bit of the Women's France World Cup jersey.
Bit of Queen Amidala. Bit of this, bit of that.
Oh, even the sponsor looks good on the front of it. That's what I'm living at the moment. How are you guys doing?
Fine. Proud to be back on the Football Ramble. It says in the running order here that yesterday everyone consoled Lars Sivertsen after Norway's loss, and I didn't hear any of that happening.
No.
I heard some light mockery, to be quite frank, with poor Lars.
I think consoled in air quotes.
Yeah.
Good to start with some FA Cup. Absolute deliciousness. Bear with me, friends, because I'm going to spend about 20 minutes analysing for you in detail what went on in this game, which finished.
Like Harry Potter.
Which finished. Stockport 5, Bolton 3. Non-league Stockport get through to the second round of the FA Cup proper. Within the first 5 minutes of this one, Stockport went 2-0 down. Improbable, you would think, that they were going to manage to pull off such an historic win at Edgeley Park. The second, if you've seen it, probably, if you haven't seen it, sorry, go and have a look. It was comical. Ashley Palmer kicked the ball into her own leg. The game then had to be stopped because two flares were thrown onto the pitch. We don't condone that business, but it did add to the kind of atmosphere. And a Stockport fan walked onto the pitch and lifted the FA Cup in the background of all the chat that was going on. Stockport then went 3-1 down after a defender tried to head a ball over the top back to his keeper, but the keeper had run past him. But then Ashley Palmer equalised. Stockport's Ashley Palmer equalised in the 86th minute. It was 3-3. They went on to win 5-3, the fifth goal, prompting a pitch invasion. Again, another thing we don't condone, but it was quite fun. During which someone stole the corner flag. Crankshaw lost his shirt in the melee. He ripped it off in enthusiasm as he scored the fifth. The only issue in this whole game, I would say, Jim, was that when the corner flag was nicked, they couldn't restart the game to complete the game to blow the final whistle.
It seems apt.
So it's actually quite stressful.
Given everything that happened. I mean, Ollie Crankshaw apparently had to play the final few minutes with like a spare shirt because they just couldn't find his shirt again. I know you're not supposed to condone like a fan running onto the pitch and running away with the FA Cup.
Come on.
But at the same time, can that person be found and can they like present the trophy when we get to the final? Because it's great. It's brilliant.
Yeah. I don't know how you style it out. I remember there was a golfer. Who was that little golfer? Young looking fella.
Frankie Dettori.
Frankie Dettori, the golfer. A man just sort of walked onto the field of golf and just took one of his golf clubs out of his golf bag.
Oh,
golf
wow.
bag?
And I just kind of walked off. I think that happened to Bryson DeChambeau, but that guy's the Did opposite it, right. of little. Okay. He's the one who's like so hench that he's all about just hitting. Yeah, he does. He's constantly doing that sort of thing.
Well, it just reminded me of that, really. I don't know how you style out picking up the FA Cup during a match.
It's the most stylish thing you could ever do.
Most stylish thing you can ever do.
Yeah, the glee, because there's a screen grab as well we found this morning.
Right.
The glee of the guy.
He's having a brilliant time. Well, he's running around with the FA Cup.
Yeah. If you want to hold the FA Cup, just go to any media agency around about March or April and it'll be in reception. It's always just floating around and there'll always be a big guy going, yes, my job is to look after the FA Cup. But
I sometimes sneak a drink out of it.
They're not all real though, are they?
Who knows?
Who knows?
How many FA Cups are there? Probably only one. I've seen the World Cup and it's massive.
Is
but
it
again,
really?
I don't know if it's the real World Cup. It was in the FIFA Museum in Zurich. So you think it
Hang
might
on,
be.
Hang wait. How big is it?
Can't live
it
there.
It was huge.
What, like two stories? I think it is fake, you know, mate.
I think
it is.
Yeah, I was actually in the hollowed out top bit.
I remember when the NBA, NFL trophy came into Sky and they had a dude with gloves being like, oh, this is very special and it's made of all silver. It's not the real one. So everybody has got a special silver dude and with gloves and a special box and people pretend
that it's the numero uno.
Yeah.
Well, this person obviously didn't do their job very well. Some fella got on the pitch.
I would very much like her to do a big tour. Now America's sort of opened up, sort of doing like the Stanley Cup because that's hard to lift. Big
you
old
could probably
trophy.
Sit in that.
Yeah.
Non-league Stockport. Is Stockport your favourite county?
Great Hat Museum, where my sister lives.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's so good about
viaduct.
It?
Viaduct. Big viaduct.
No, the Hat Museum.
Oh, the Hat Museum. I've never been in. I've got no cause to use it.
That's true, actually. You're not really a hat guy, are you?
It messes
all
up your hair.
All your general sort of like sartorial flamboyance, hats you don't bother with.
It's not a thing. Not a thing for me, unfortunately.
Why is that?
I want to reveal my head to the Lord.
Right, okay.
I thought it was because that's why he prefers his hats in a museum. But
yeah, exactly.
Hasn't even been there.
But an amazing game of football. And my highlight was very much Palmer's double take where he kicked the ball onto his own leg and was expecting the ball to go one way. Went, where'd that ball
where
go?
Is it? And kicked it into the net again in frustration.
Sometimes I feel like football's not empathisable enough, you know? And then I don't know if that's a word, but you know what I'm on about.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a moment where you're like, I know what that feels like.
Yeah, but him getting the equaliser in the 86th minute as well.
Oh, it's just so wicked. The just glee like, and people just dumping around. I know this is like Magic of the Cup crap, but
it's pretty great.
It really was magic.
You can probably watch it all back as well if you want to, if you feel like you're not living it fully enough.
It's just kind of like that kind of, what is it, yesterday? Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I presume it was a capacity crowd because, I mean,
it's the biggest
Stockport.
Crowd they've had in 13 years.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, like, capacity at Stockport on a Wednesday night. And then Kachunga scores in like 2 minutes or something. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, man. And Scott Quigley, man of the match. There we go. congratulations, Stockport. Good luck in the next round. We won't do a deep dive into Bolton Wanderers' misfortunes. I don't think here's the place. But anyway, it's exciting to see non-league doing so well in that one.
Yep.
Moving into the Premier League, the chairman, Gary Hoffman, has resigned. The deal is he's going to step down at the end of January next year. January 2022, I read that. I was like, that sounds like it's in a couple of years. It is not, friends.
No.
It is the year of the World Cup and it is next year. But he was only appointed in April last year. Okay, obviously there's been quite a lot of chaos in the meantime, but it seems as though the straw that's broken the camel's back is the situation around Newcastle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he didn't do enough trust exercises in the office and, you know, getting the team to drop like an egg from the ceiling, you got to catch it.
Or yeah.
Come up with some contraption.
Falling
to
backwards
catch it.
And making
falling
sure.
Falling backwards, yeah. Stuff like that, I think. No, the Swindon lot just don't respect him, fundamentally.
No, it does seem like there's someone's had to just take a bullet, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's got to be a fall guy for what's taken place with the Newcastle deal. But I mean, whenever they get rid of someone in charge, the word exciting phase is always mentioned in their goodbye speech.
A lot of exciting opportunities for you phase. Away from the Premier League.
I just find that quite weird because obviously it's this idea there was a sort of semi-secret vote of no confidence, wasn't there? I mean, it's all again connected to this idea that Newcastle should be kind of blocked from buying certain players.
Persona non grata.
Yeah. Well, I think it's generally, you know, the other clubs are sort of scrambling a bit to see, oh God, how can we make this as difficult as possible for Newcastle? But the idea of a sort of unofficial vote of no confidence, like, is that just a big bitching session? Oh, blood, we've got to get rid of Gary. Who's called Gary in 2021?
There's been a lot.
It's embarrassing at this point.
I guess it's all stuff that's leaked, but there's been a lot. It's a lot of the stuff that's said about him at the moment. It's like, he is an investment banker, and the concern is that he's not got many links in the game. So yeah, you can, you know, loath as I am to be like, oh, let's all pity the investment bankers. You can, I don't know, I just imagine the setup as a little bit like him with his glasses on in the middle of the room and all the other like cool lads who maybe, you know a bit about football. Just...
Have you met an investment banker before?
I have. Of course I have. I went to Cambridge. All my fucking mates are investment bankers.
They're all jeans and shoes.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not trying to cool down your pity. It sounds like an absolute shit show. Also, in shit show areas, hopefully they let him clear out his office at the right moment, unlike Neil Warnock, who
went back
to get his stuff and was told that Chris Wilder was already in his office and he couldn't get his stuff back.
I just came here to shred some photographs. Fantastic.
I deserved a bit more, but it's not to be, and I wish them all the best.
I feel sorry for him a little bit because he was brought in to do a particular job and it was very, very clear that that wasn't going to be taking place. But sometimes with the Championship, that happens. Sometimes you find yourself in mid-table when you've spent all of the money.
Yeah.
Not in Middlesbrough's case, but oh, man.
When you Google Neil Warnock, obviously when you Google anyone, you get a sort of
suggestions.
People also ask.
Yeah. It's always net worth and like husband or whatever.
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
I mean, not necessarily a Neil Warnock case.
For Neil Warnock, there are two. One is Neil Warnock retiring? The other one, how do I contact Neil Warnock? he's that in demand for managerial position,
okay.
Possibly after dinner speaking.
I don't know about this because it does, is it not a little bit based on what you've searched?
What I've previously searched. Oh, yeah. I've never tried to contact Neil Warnock before. Not that I remember anyway. Maybe I'm doing it late at night. So I sometimes, you know, things I've bought in the night turn up. You know, happens to us all. Maybe I've been trying to book Neil Warnock to just be my mate or something.
Sorry, I feel like we didn't lay the ghost of this whole gang up on Newcastle thing. And I feel like Pete is the man to speak on that because he probably feels quite isolated. And poverty stricken and all these things as a result of the most recent events in the Premier League. But the reports are that Premier League clubs are going to adopt an anyone but Newcastle policy in the January transfer
window.
They're
not going to sell any players to Newcastle United? Because I always think with the January transfer window, like there's so much value in England, isn't there? So much value to be extracted from that particular market. Half dead, injured players.
Yeah. I think as well, like, you know, this is obviously wild speculation. I'm sure they're not going to, you know, come together
sort
for
a break
an actual conspiracy against Newcastle. Yeah. That would be mad. But like, it is a good opportunity for a lot of clubs to almost like essentially like Marie Kondo their squad. Just like look around and go, does that Fabian Delph spark joy? If not, get rid.
Yeah.
I know a place who might want one.
But isn't it a similar thing similar but different. Maybe this is a terrible example, but with Barcelona, you know, it was like they wanted to get rid of, again, they wanted to get rid of a whole load of players, but obviously no one wants the players that they want to get rid of, yeah, particularly. So that might still happen. Newcastle are like, oh yeah, thanks for that suggestion, I don't want.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they'll just waste Newcastle's time.
I don't want Harry Winks. I love Harry Winks.
I just like Newcastle United kind of, if you're in a situation, you're selling to Newcastle United, you could kind of wait them out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then go, oh yeah, I didn't get the papers in time. Oh, unlucky.
Yeah,
really
what, in January?
Really up the market a little bit, yeah.
What, right at the end? So like,
right at the end,
it's
yeah.
deadline
don't do
day
any business, yeah.
And the whole twist is that nothing's happening. Deliberately. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
I mean, let's make it very clear, Barcelona will sell, so.
Yeah, exactly right. Sticking with football bureaucracy. Come on, Kate, really sell the stories. We talked yesterday, I just wanted to lead on from yesterday's chat about Derby County in the Championship. Reading have also now suffered a points deduction. So Reading have been, it's six, I think, yeah, for breaching financial rules. The deal here is that they've already been under a transfer embargo. And the story is that they lost £58 million between 2017 and 2021. So it's about just under £19 million over the limit that they're allowed to spend. I mean, I suppose the big question here, Pete, to ask is, how has the impact of points deductions been visited on, for example, European Super League clubs? How is that? What's the impact been elsewhere?
Well, they have too much power, don't they? And it is all about the Premier League, the mess that the Championship is. I mean, like, buying a Premier League club is stupid. Buying a Championship club is smart, as long as you're willing to wait it out and overcommit financially and spend your way into the big boys. You've got, like, both Derby and Reading, obviously, have lost Championship playoffs in recent memory, and the owners were gambling on getting out. They didn't get out, and now, I think, is it either Reading or... I think Reading is 211% wage bill, and in Derby's case, they managed to get out of the... Well, some of it by selling the ground to themselves, effectively. Yeah. So it's that sunken cost fallacy. It's like owners just throwing good money after bad, which is preferable to an owner just walking away, obviously. But, like, you know, remember Reggiana in Italy? Like, that baseball guy just didn't register the team for Serie B. This is just too expensive.
Yeah.
I'm just walking away. But, you know, fundamentally, this is all about the Premier League paying such insane parachute payments, which makes the league less of a meritocracy, makes it more difficult for people to get out. And it doesn't help Championship teams, you know, operate and get out of the league. It helps newly promoted Premier League clubs, giving them the confidence to overexert themselves in the transfer market, knowing full well that if it all goes tits up, they go down with £40 million in their back pocket. Yeah. So it's all about the Premier League, and it's all about the Premier League screwing over the rest of the football pyramid, as it has seen the last 10, 15 years.
I mean, yo-yoing is really common, isn't it? And that's a huge, huge part of why. So yeah, it's a shame. I think a lot of clubs, I think a lot of owners just don't understand how likely it is that you will struggle compared to how likely it is that you get promoted. Also, Andy Carroll joins Reading and they're immediately 6 points worse off.
Come on, Jim.
Can't be good, can it?
I like with the Reading decision, though, there's no appeal because it was given through the agreed decision process. So it was a conversation. It wasn't like them going, did you do the crime, then you're going to do the time. It was very much them going, I mean, you're going to have to do the time because you did the crime. Do you agree? Yeah, I do. Well, there's no appeal then, is there?
It was £41 million wage bill, Reading, in 2018-19. I think that might be what you're referring to as well. Equated to 194% of turnover and the losses we've already mentioned. Look, the thing is, certainly with Derby anyway, for the third season running, a club is likely to go down because of penalties.
Yeah.
To your point, like, not only does the top of the league become ludicrous as a result of the impact, let's say, of the Premier League, down the bottom, people are just getting relegated based on...
It's going to happen again and again. Birmingham got a pretty hefty price reduction a little while ago, didn't they? I think teams have to start the season pretty well because chances are during the back end you're going to get docked.
But Derby,
if they dock everyone,
Derby have got 29 games more to play.
Yeah, mad, absolutely mad.
What do you do with those? You're the manager, you're Wazza. What do you do, Jim?
Have a sleep. Have a sleep in a hotel room.
Prep for life. Prep for life in League One.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got to obviously do everything you can to try and stay in the division, but it comes so heavily weighted against your chances of doing that you have to prepare for the worst, don't you?
You have to prepare for the worst. Yeah, words to live by. Thanks, Jim. Let's go to a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
And I'm Chloe Morgan.
Join us every week on our brand new show, Upfront, on Football Ramble Presents. We'll get stuck into the biggest stories in women's football every Tuesday, from the latest in the WSL. Gareth Taylor said, oh, well, actually, we were playing 3-4-3, and we moved to 4-4-3-3. If you look at any of the footage, if you look at the way the players played in that first half, there were four players playing at the back. That sort of comment speaks of a manager who doesn't quite know what they're doing.
To how the Lionesses are shaping up ahead of a home Euros next summer.
For me, I would pick Leah Williamson. I would just go for it now. For a younger age captain, you've got some big tournaments coming up. I think a lot of players think she's got a really great mentality, gets on with a lot of people. For me, she's a born leader, and I think she will be England captain at some point.
And what it's really like being a player in women's football today.
From my own experiences of being in a situation like that, I mean, you know, when we got promoted when I was with Spurs, that was phenomenal. I was, you know, first choice keeper. You know, then you go into the WSL for our first season and all I wanted to do was get WSL experience.
Join us every Tuesday for Upfront. Search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Subscribe now.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production.
Gleeson has the ball and dims it in towards the penalty area. Brennan Camp does a very good job there of holding Maycock.
Nah. Sorry. Oh, no, I heard that. And as you can probably tell, it's right up my street.
it's always enjoyable.
Yeah.
Something with a cock gag. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Words, more words to live by here on Thursday's Football Ramble with me, Pete and Jim. Time for some emails.
Got a message from Eric. Hello, Eric. Regarding Andy's anecdote on Monday about a player taking off a shirt to reveal another shirt, talented but daft forward Eric Hasley accomplished the same in 2011. The match report goes as follows. The Frenchman cheekily bagged the 1-1 equaliser from the spot and then threw his shirt to the elated Empire field crew after yanking it off to reveal an identical shirt. Hasley may have figured the twist to be a clever workaround of the rule that bans shirt removal during a celebration. The referee did not agree, and so the game's hero received his second booking of the second half and an early exit. Never mind.
Reckless, but I like it.
Yeah. Clever. Yeah. He probably thought in the dressing room, yeah, this is just perfect. This is gonna change the game.
I'm the first
Bosman
person to come up with this. Yeah. Fight me.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah, I mean, it's just not worked, has it? No. So, Tywin, I forget, from Game of Thrones, in Toronto, has said, "It was great to hear some acknowledgement of Canada's qualifying performances and win against Mexico on the show yesterday. I'll forgive the stereotypes and references to blustery leaves since the whole country is still over the moon with the result. The choice to play the match against Mexico in Alfonso's hometown Edmonton in November was classic CONCACAF. They could have played the match in the slightly less wintry surroundings of Toronto or Vancouver, but elected to play Mexico on a hockey rink. The best part, Mexico could not train ahead of the game because the indoor turf field they wanted to train on had an under 9 training session scheduled, which refused to move." I love that. I love that.
Standard. Not giving
you
prep.
Not giving you any advantage there, Mexico.
Outstanding stuff. So that's why it was minus 14 for this game.
And what an excellent example to set to those under 9s of how important shithousing can be.
Pettiness. Just enforcing your rights. Yeah, I'm with them. Get in touch with the show. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. We've got some transfer whispers for you now, guys. Marcus's wicked, what do we call them? Marcus's
wicked whispers.
Naughty little bits of gossip.
Naughty little bits of gossip.
That's what he brings to the show. Yeah. Personnel changes on the way with January coming up on the horizon. Unsurprisingly, Paul Pogba.
Yes.
He's doing some shit, Jim.
Well, he's not, is he? Mino is.
Well, he might, I mean... Yeah.
He's just
they're connected a bit.
Yeah. Well, he's bored, isn't he? He's bored of all the criticism that Pogba's getting, is what Mino's been saying, essentially. So, I mean, they're just going
to... Do you feel like Pogba's getting loads of criticism now? I thought it became like meta after the whole Souness thing. It was just like, now it's come full circle.
Maybe for us.
Are we not the whole of the football universe?
No, yeah. I mean, because there's talk he's going to be out until January now, isn't there? So he could well have played his last game for Man United because, you know, obviously Mino is saying that December is the month of dreams.
He's such a turd.
He's brilliant.
He's such a football turd.
He's like, I can't control my dreams.
Yeah, I can't stop dreams. But it is better not to speak about Paul, was the main thing. Stop bringing him up then, was the full quote. But yeah, this is going to run his whole time at Man United, isn't it? And I think he's probably bored of the speculation now. It's like, Mino, I'll go anywhere.
Get me, do
just
something.
Get me anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's suffered the injury in training.
Yeah, it was nasty as well.
Struck
a ball, didn't he? And it just like, you could hear it. It was like,
oh, those are the worst kind, aren't they?
Yeah.
When there's not like, there's no impact, and then you're
sort of whiffed at a sort of half volley, didn't he? It was just like, oh.
Be interesting to see where he goes, though. I mean, because with the financial constraints, like everyone seems to be under, you would think, like, oh, can anyone afford him, essentially? I mean, surely PSG can't add another player of Pogba's stature to their squad. Like, what with Messi and having so many players there. And you're looking at me like I'm incredibly naive.
Slightly, yeah. I mean, you sort of thought that when they bought Neymar, but they still managed to buy Mbappe.
Mbappe as well,
With a, what was it?
It was a loan, though, wasn't it?
No, I'm sure it sounds impossible. I can't think of any circumstances that would make that possible. Equally interesting, but much less normal, is this story about Zinedine Zidane, right? He's apparently warming to the idea of Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
But his family don't want to live in Manchester.
Pure transfer speculation, isn't it, that we're seeing all over the place? And like certain people think it's very, very unlikely. Obviously Zidane's won a lot, but the whole thing is that it's in an environment where he couldn't have been more comfortable and where obviously he's coaching elite players and is it transferable, essentially? Was Zidane just so perfect for Madrid that it's only sort of going to work there? And it seems like he himself thinks that, because it looks like he was waiting for the France job. And it's like there's only a couple of managerial positions he'd even be interested in. Mm. So if he's warmed to the idea of taking over at Man United, that'd be very interesting. I'd be intrigued to see what he's like out of his comfort zone.
Is Solskjaer's management of the big personalities really the issue and just a general tactical lack of nous in any sense?
I think his management of the big personalities is the thing that he can do, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
They seem to like him, but also people respect
that's
the hell
why
out
Lars
of
is backing him so strongly for the Norway job, isn't he? That was nice to see him speaking up for his pal.
Yeah.
Very charming.
But like, it would be absolutely fascinating. I have no idea how it would go, because obviously Zidane is rightly hailed as one of the greatest players who ever lived. If you look at his record for Real Madrid, especially given how obsessed they were with the Champions League and how well he did there, It's absolutely astonishing. Like his trophies to you know, like games managed ratio is phenomenal. But nobody really talks about Zidane as being one of the great coaches because he had such a phenomenal team at his disposal. But phenomenal Real Madrid teams had fallen short many, many times before.
Yeah, so, he had a very old centre three, really, didn't he? Like Kroos and Casemiro and stuff. Like, so you get the sense that they would have to invest in a bit more experience in the centre of the park.
Yeah, I mean, but that's been the narrative for a long time, isn't it? That generally that's what they lack.
Might that not be a problem that we're identifying then? Because it was more like he was a kind of end of a cycle coach.
Zidane, maybe.
Which is probably not what Manchester United need. Right
no,
now.
But they are, I don't know, because that, as has been said so many times about them, this squad is a squad for now, isn't it? And so you need someone who can really extract the best out of the top players. And Zidane has shown time and time again that he can do that. So who knows?
I don't know who Barcelona's squad is. Is Barcelona's squad a squad for now? They've just brought back in Dani Alves. For the rest of the season. He was unveiled yesterday.
You love to see it.
Absolute B-jams,
pound stretcher decisions. I love it.
Yeah. Apparently he had been like just bombarding calling them up with phone calls.
Yeah.
Saying like, I'll play for free. Like,
I'll bring my own cameras.
Come on.
He was saying that though. That's not like Marcus's idle bits of gossip. That's like him saying, I genuinely was just ringing up Joe Laporta being like, I want to come and play for free. And then when Xavi gets it in his boss, he's like, all right, I know this lad.
I mean,
he's with me, guys. Yeah. Front of the kit. Yeah, you're right.
To be fair, though, I mean, he'd been doing really, really well in Brazil. Like, he obviously they won gold at the Olympics.
But he refuses to not. He will never stop playing. Not Daniel Alves. You get the feeling he's never going to go into management because he just wants to play football. Yeah,
but
all the
he
time,
hasn't been playing football in. When you say in Brazil, like yes, in the Brazil national team, but he hasn't actually been playing football for a club side.
Not well. He had been.
Yes.
But he's for some reason had a little bit of time off. Don't know why. But he was winning plaudits though. It's not like he was like just seeing out his career
and
going, oh, how come he's not retired? Like he was in like banging form, so he's still got something to offer. Whether he can do that in the league, we don't know. But I'm all for this. I mean, it's just brilliant.
I can see why. I mean, particularly based on watching bits of yesterday. First of all, he says many things in life change, but the desire doesn't, Pete. I'm coming here to fight. I know what this club represents. If we all pull in the same direction, this boat will reach the port sooner.
Just put some shoes on.
What is the port?
God, I don't know.
Well, he wanted to. I was dissing his. I felt like he'd misjudged the dress code a little bit when he rocked up in flip flops. Mm. But then he took them off so that he could sort of like
feel the grass on his feet
and like commune with the grass spirits. Yeah, that's not ridiculous.
No, but it's like it's probably the first time he's ever done it, though, isn't it?
Oh, I see. It's not like this is his
it's
ritual.
Not like you play barefoot.
No, maybe he will. Maybe that's his innovation. Look, since he left for Juventus in 2016, Barcelona have spent €85 million on right backs. And none of them have adequately replaced him.
Yeah,
adequately replace himself? Probably not.
He is one of the greatest right backs ever play the game. He sort of reinvented the position. So, I mean, it's very, very difficult to replace that, even with himself, like many years later. Wouldn't it be brilliant if he was just as good?
As good, yeah.
What's going on with this man? Why isn't he aging?
The club's chief executive, Mathieu Alemany, admitted there was no money to sign anyone else, but maybe they needed a bit of that. In recent years, we've loaded negative things onto their shoulders, says Dani Alves. It's time to change, and you just need to be positive.
Aww.
That's all, so he's a sort of...
like a cheerleader.
Like a... Yeah? Well, he hasn't played in 5 months, Jim.
Yeah, I bet he'll get in the team. I'm Team Alves on this. I'm buying the hype.
Well, he can't play until January. So he's got to... He said he's going to go off and find Lionel Messi.
A little side quest for a bit.
If you give me a couple of hours, I will look for him.
Oh, that's very sweet, I think.
Well, is it, Pete? I mean, this man is 38 years old. Is that not a bit of an infantile thing to be saying?
I don't think it's entirely serious.
Yeah. Well, I think he better fucking pull his finger out, given that he can't play. He possibly can't play. And
he needs to find he thinks he's in the second busiest port in Catalonia. Like, he needs to get their stadium first, I think.
Mm.
Baby steps, Kate.
All right. Barca play their first game with Xavi in charge against Espanyol on Saturday. Sergio Aguero out of action for 3 months with his cardiac problem. Blimey, yeah of course. We wish him all the best. Lovely stuff. So, time to skip our way out the door in our flip-flops. Go and feel the grass under your feet. That seems like the sort of thing you might end your you might do on an average day. Now you live in the countryside.
Not with my athlete's foot.
I imagine Pete living this like
there's dog shit on every grass verge in Essex. I'm not going to be walking around with bare feet. Let's make that very clear.
You've really
there's the brutal reality.
You've really caused me to reshape what I thought of your life. I imagined him.
I just did the
Pete
face
like,
that people do at me on this show.
I imagine you just skipping around the place with like milkmaids and stuff.
Yeah,
right. I was
yeah,
wrong.
That's exactly right.
I was wrong on tomorrow's show. It's Marcus, Andy and Jim. Do join us then. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Farewell, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.